Major General Linda Urrutia-Varhall is the Air Force's Assistant Deputy Chief of Staff for Intelligence, Surveillance, and Reconnaissance. She's one of the most senior female officers in the entire U.S. military, and throughout her career, she's been the first woman in most of the jobs she's held as she rose through the ranks of the Air Force. But Urrutia-Varhall says that particular distinction wasn't something she paid much attention to over the last 30 years. In a recent appearance on Federal News Radio's Women of Washington, Urrutia-Varhall talked about her career and why many women in the military opt out of career paths that could lead to high-ranking jobs like the one that she holds right now.
It doesn't matter what rank you are. You should be comfortable in any room. If they didn't trust that I could do the job, they wouldn't have put me in there. And I even take it as far as, even if you're in the Oval Office, there's a reason why you're in the Oval Office. As the president strides across the Oval Office to shake your hand, why shouldn't you feel comfortable in that room? Why should you feel that you don't belong there? And I think that will really help to kind of set the stage. It also helps how you look into a room. So many times I've gone into folks, even into a restaurant, and they'll come out and they'll see the room totally different than I do. They'll make comments of, did you know we were the only woman in there? Did you notice how many African Americans there were there? And I have to tell you, more times than not, I am just dumbfounded because I walk in the room and I see it totally different. I look and see how many, was it crowded, was it not? That's about all you'll get from me because I don't see the world like they do. And it's just a different perspective, but it has really helped me. If you go into that room, it brings you down a little bit. And I'm not saying that you should go in and take over the room. That's not what I'm saying, but I'm saying you just feel comfortable. You belong there. If we hadn't taught you, if we wouldn't have taken all this time to show you that stuff, then you shouldn't be in that room. But we put you in that room for a reason. That's probably the biggest pearl of wisdom that I've used throughout my whole career. And really, when I go home, it really accentuates it when I'm with my brothers or my cousins because they just see the world so differently. And it's one of the things, I have a 5- and a 7-year-old niece. That's one of the best things that I do with them now. When they come to Washington, I bring them to the Pentagon. I put them in front of the 4-stars. I put them in front of everyone I can because I want them to feel comfortable in any kind of environment.
A lot of times on the show, we talk about the disparity between the numbers of men versus women in leadership positions in organizations. And when you look at the military, the Air Force has got some of the most impressive records in terms of having more parity in promoting women. But a few weeks ago, we did have the Secretary of the Air Force on with us. And one of the things that she's very concerned about is what you were just talking about, that women are opting out of the leadership track kind of in the midst of their career. So, you know, you talked about providing role models that they can identify, but what do you think is contributing to that, right? When women now sort of finally have the opportunity to ascend, what do you think is contributing to them opting out on their own?
Let me look at it from two ways. From the Hispanic way, it's all about the family. So somebody has to make the choices between the family. And I think for a lot of our folks, it's all or nothing. And that's unfortunate. But I ask people to look at the military in a different perspective. You know, I didn't leave my family. You know, they're still all there, but I've joined a bigger family. The military is a family. We provide for each other. We watch out for each other. We promote each other. We get mad at each other. I mean, we're just like a family. It's no different. So if you get into that family environment, it's maybe so, if you can work it with your mid-range folks, it's not so much of a choice. And there's opportunities now, especially as you look at some of the folks that are younger. You know, you don't really start to get on the right track till you're a colonel, a lieutenant colonel. You need to look at the captains. You need to look at the majors, especially the ones that are late bloomers. Grab them. They probably just need a step up. They could be doing their job every day. They're doing a great job. And that's what they know. They know that they just go and they get their job done and somebody will take care of them. You need to look for those late bloomers and do it. And you need to be open to discussion. Because what I find out more, and probably Secretary James might have mentioned this, is like it or not, I am one of them. You know, you're them. And when I was young, I said, oh, man, that's an old them. Okay, so I'm an old them now. But, you know, I've got to be approachable. You know what? I learned empathy very late in my career. And that's one of the things that I think women especially bring to it. You got a way. You got to listen what the problems are, what choices are. Because to them, whether it's your perception or not, perception to them is reality. You have to remember where they're at and empathy and just take a step back. Put yourself in their shoes and help them work through the problem. And I can think we could keep a lot more of them. But we have to focus, as Secretary James is really trying to do, at the mid-level rank, because that's where we're losing our folks. Because if you don't get them through the mid-level, I don't happen to be senior leaders of tomorrow.
Just recently, the Pentagon announced that women were going to be able to be put in direct ground combat positions. The new degree opens up 220,000 military jobs to women, including the Army Special Forces and the Navy SEALs. And to quote Defense Secretary Ash Carter, they will be allowed to drive tanks, fire mortars, lead infantry soldiers into combat, and anything else and everything else that was previously open only to men. What do you think about this change?
I love it. I am a huge fan of it. I've been a huge fan of it since June 23rd, 1980, when I joined the Academy. I trained like my fellow brothers when I was at the Academy. I did everything they did. I carried my rucksack during the summers when we did survival escape resistance training, when we'd have to go out and do the tough training in the field. I did it just like they did. You know, I didn't join the Air Force to just to send men off to war to give their life. I joined because I believe in my country enough and patriotism that I'm willing to fight and die for my country, just the same as any male. If a woman can do what the men can do, I'm not telling you that you should change any of the parameters. They should be the same. Then why shouldn't we be able to bring that part to fight in combat also? I'm a huge fan of this. I'm too old to fight in combat, but I'm a huge fan of it regardless.
That's Major General Linda Urrutia-Varhall, the Air Force's Assistant Deputy Chief of Staff for Intelligence, Surveillance, and Reconnaissance. She talked with Eileen Black and Gigi Shum on the Women of Washington radio program. You can hear that entire show this afternoon at 1 o'clock Eastern right here on Federal News Radio. And it's easy to share this interview with your colleagues. Just go to federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive and click on Share with Friends.